Morning, everyone. Today's daf in Menachos is Samech Aleph. We are today starting on Samech Amud Beis, and we're starting with my parachta. My parachta obviously is in the middle of a sentence, so let's just recap. We are in the middle of a really long brayse. So the brayse started yesterday on Samech Amud Aleph, and the topic of the brayse is the mitzvah of Hagasha. By a mincha, there's a particularly special mitzvah, a mitzvah of Hagasha, as I noted already yesterday, not to be confused with halacha. The halacha is part of the dalet avodos that's done with the kometz. For a kometz, there is the actual kmitza itself, the kohen taking a fistful of the flour out of the mincha, then kedushas hakometz, put it into a kli sharis, into a second kli sharis, and then halacha, and then haktara, bringing it to the mizbech and bringing it on the top of the mizbech. Those are the dalet avodos as it relates to a kmitza. The mitzvah of hagasha is for the mincha in its entirety. When you have the mincha in a bowl, in a kli sharis, you then take that kli sharis and you connect it to the mizbech. You actually make it have it come into physical contact with the mizbech, and that is the mitzvah of hagasha. Where is the mitzvah of hagasha mentioned? So it's mentioned a couple times in the Torah, notably in the introduction of Menachos, which is the second parak of Vayikra. So the Torah talks about the mitzvah of hagasha, and specifically with the minchas marcheshes. Minchas marcheshes, we'll be learning in a couple days from now, tomorrow or the next day, with the mitzvah, 2 days from now, I think. Anyway, the minchas marcheshes is a deep pan mincha. The pasuk says regarding the marcheshes, the minchas marcheshes karbanecha. Now, if your mincha happens to be coming from marcheshes, solos b'shem and te'aseh. So first of all, it comes from fine flour together with oil. Ve'vesas the mincha asher yaseh me'ele la'ashem. Carefully listen to the words, as the Gemara is going to be spending a lot of time with the details within this pasuk, and then you're going to bring the mincha that you made me'ele from these la'ashem to Hashem by v'kriva el ha'kohen. You bring it to the kohen v'higisha el ha'mizbech, and it's brought to the mizbech. So there you have the pasuk in the Torah that speaks to the idea of v'gisha v'hevia. I'm sorry, v'hevesa, and you're going to bring it. So what do we do from that pasuk of v'hevesa? And you're going to bring it. So the Gemara understood yesterday in a really long brisa. The brisa, by the way, began on Samech Amud Aleph in the bottom, and we're still in the middle of it. So the brisa brought in a number of opinions. Ve'evesa, it's coming to include another type of mincha. So in the course of yesterday's daf, we went through two other opinions, Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda. If you look about a third of the way down on yesterday's daf in Samech Amud Beis, Rabbi Shimon Omer. So this is just a review. Rabbi Shimon Omer ve'evesa l'rabos minchas Omer la'agasha. So according to Rabbi Shimon, the word ve'evesa is coming to include another type of mincha, that's specifically minchas Omer. Rabbi Yehuda also agreeing that the word ve'evesa is coming to be a ribui. If you look about two-thirds of the way down on the daf, so Rabbi Yehuda Omer ve'evesa l'rabos minchas sota la'agasha. He says that's coming to include the mincha of sota. And the Gemara goes through a long sequence of how come Rabbi Shimon doesn't learn it out from so? How come he doesn't learn out that the pasuk includes sota? How come Rabbi Yehuda does not learn out that the pasuk includes the minchas haomer? And basically, what we learned over the course of yesterday's daf is that each one of them learns out that you can learn the other mincha through limudim. You don't have to learn it out based on a pasuk, based on a drasha. Let's take a look. Let's go back to Rabbi Yehuda Omer. Okay, so we are going to start to take a small step backwards and start in the Gemara with the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda within the Braisa. Rabbi Yehuda Omer ve'evesa l'rabos minchas sota la'agasha. So according to the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, that the ve'evesa is coming to include the mincha v'sot. V'cheinu Omer ve'evis karbana l'ha. And in fact, if you look at the psukim regarding the sota in Bamidbar, so the pasuk says ve'evi es karbana l'ha. So you see that the language used over there is ve'evi, just like we have over here ve'evesa. But as far as Minchas Omer is concerned, I agree there's Hagasha, says Rabbi Yehuda, but you don't have to learn it out based on a limud. You could learn it out through logic and limudim. My time and midina kasiyah. Ma minchas chotish sheino tuna tenufa tuna hagasha. Minchas haomer shetuna tenufa inadin shetuna hagasha. So the Gemara says again, we're going to go through the limudim like we said yesterday. I called it yesterday binyanav. Sounds a little bit like a kavachomer. But in any event, just like by a minchas chote, which does not require tenufa and requires hagasha, so the omer, which does require tenufa, for sure should require hagasha. So mala minchas chote, shekein shebachitim. So the Gemara says, how can I compare the two? The minchas chote comes from wheat, which is the standard grain that's used for a mincha, which is wheat. Meanwhile, the Minchas HaOmer is coming from barley. So the Gemara says, Mincha Sota Tochiach. So the Gemara says, okay, but the Sota is now, we're going to learn it from the Sota, the Mitzvah of Hagasha. Mala Mincha Sota, Shekem Balavar Avon, Namaskeres Avon, He. So the Gemara says, how can I learn anything from Sota? The Sota is there to clarify the chait. It's not coming for any kind of kapara. So minchas chote tochiv, chazar adin, lo rizek rizev, lo rizek rizev. So the Gemara says, okay, I can't learn it out from minchas chote. I can't learn it out from minchas sota. I'll take the two together. I'll look at the common denominator. Hatzada sheva shemim shekein sheva la kemitza v'sheva la agasha. Both the chote and the sota have kemitza taken off. Both have the mitzvah of hagasha. Here too, by the omer, same thing. Avani avi minchas omer sheshavta lehem la kemitza tisheva lam la agasha. Umay parachta. And the Gemara says, "And what kind of pircha can you challenge based on the bing, on the limud that we just learned?" So Rabbi Shimon parachachi. So the Rabbi Shimon. Now remember, Rabbi Shimon is the other side of that brisa yesterday, who didn't learn this out. And according to Rabbi Shimon, you need a drasha to get to this conclusion. He obviously does not like the limudim. Why doesn't he like limudim? So Malah Tzad Hashav Shemehem Shekin Mitsuyan. So the Gemara says, "What kind of Tzad Hashav do I have by these?" Where these are mitsuyan, these are brought all the time. Now, brought all the time, it's a, yeah, right, right, correct, correct. In other words, as opposed to the Omer, which is only once a year, so these can come all the time. Rabbi Yehuda, Adrabah, HaMitsuya Tzvei, HaNach Zimad Lo Mishkach LeKlal. And Rabbi Yehuda says, what do you mean that's brought all the time? You're talking about karbanos that are brought in need, in case of. In case there's a chote, so you bring the menchas chote. In case of a sota, so you bring the menchas sota. You can go a year without having them being brought. Okay, we're human. We're going to make mistakes. But at least it's within the realm of possibility. You can go a year. You can go 2 years. They're not going to be brought. Masha ain't came when it comes to the Omer. It's true it's only once a year, but it is once a year. We're for sure going to hit it. A really interesting debate over here in the Gemara taking place in terms of when trying to judge and weigh whether or not we say tadir v'shein or tadir. So do we look at something which is, even though it only happens once a year, but at least it's fixed, at least we know it's going to be happening? Or do we look at something which is more likely to occur, but doesn't have to occur? So really interesting debate in terms of trying to gauge which one is more tadir. Oh, eino omer ve'evesa ela shiachim es nadev umevi mincha acheres chutz me'ela. So the Gemara says, okay, and we're still in the Braisa. And so what do we do with the pasuk of ve'evesa, or specifically with the word ve'evesa? So we used it as a ribuy, to come to include. And so what is it including? So we already went through now, two opinions in the Braisa. Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Shimon says, Minchas Omer. Rabbi Yehuda says, the Minchas Sota. Anyway, the Gemara says, what about another option? Maybe the word Ve'evesa is coming to teach us another halacha altogether. Shiyachim is nadiv mevi mincha acheres. Chutz me'ele. Shebe'inyan. So maybe the word ve'evesa is coming to tell me that a person could be misnadev and can donate another type of mincha just like these. Meaning that a person, if he would like to, can offer these karbanos as voluntary karbanos, v'dinu. Tziba mevi mincha minachitim chova, umevi mincha minasarim chova. Av yachit shemevi mincha minachitim nedava, yavi mincha minasarim nedava. And let's consider. Meaning we know that there are obligatory menachos coming from wheat. We know there are optional menachos coming from wheat. So why don't we make the same argument? Why can't there be a parallel type of setting for barley? We know there's an obligatory barley offering, otherwise known as the Omer. So maybe there should also be a voluntary one as well. So Tam Lomer, Eile. So the Gemara says, okay, good. And now we're going to go back to the Pasuk. And I told you, as we went through the Pasuk, highlight so many of these words. So now we're on the next word in the Pasuk. Not next word, but next phrase. Ve'vesa samincha asher yaseh me'eile. So only these. Ainli ela ela oina omer ela ela la omer. I'm sorry. Ainli ela ela. Only these. These are the only types of menachos can be brought, and there is no room for any kind of self expression or variability. Oina omer ela ela la omer hare ela mincha shemevi chamishi san. So the Gemara says, okay, maybe when a person makes an adava, so he's got to bring all five different types. Meaning, as we went over the psukim yesterday, the day before, you'll notice that there are five different types of offering mentioned in these psukim. Oven-baked, pan-baked, and if you go through the different permutations, you come out that there are five. Maybe when a person makes a neder or a nedava, that he's going to bring a mincha, maybe there's a requirement to bring all five different types of menachos. Tamalomer me'ele ratza achas mevi ratza chamisha samet mevi. The me'ele is telling me that a person, when he makes a mincha pledge, only needs to bring one of the five. Now, if he wants to, he certainly can bring all five, but he doesn't have to bring all five. Rabbi Shimon amir esa mincha l'rabba shar menachos. Could go in minchas nachrim or minchas nashim lahagasha. According to Rabbi Shimon, the esa mincha, like we already discussed, the word es is a ribui. So what is it coming to include? It's there to include the mincha offered by women, the mincha offered by non-Jews. Their mincha requires hagasha as well. Yachushani marba afshti alechem lechem apanim tamalamer me'ele. And what about shtei alechem? What about lechem apanim? Is there a mitzvah of hagasha for these? Me'ele. The word mem is there as a mi'ud. It's a limitation. Maris l'rabba shar menachos oshi shtei alechem lechem apanim. Why am I excluding those? So marba ani shar menachos sheish mehem li'ishim u'motzi ani shtei alechem lechem apanim she'ein mehem li'ishim. So the Gemara makes a point which we've gone over numerous times, but over here, in the context of hagasha, you know, when it comes to the lechem apanim and the shtei alechem, no part of that mincha is offered onto the mizbeach. There is no kemitza that's done. By the shtei alechem, what is offered on the mizbeach? The kvasim. By the lechem apanim, what's offered on the mizbeach? The bezichin. But in other words, but the mincha itself is not offered on the mizbeach. So v'alo mincha sasachim kulu liyishim, so yachli yeituna agash. Okay, fine. The Gemara says, what about mincha sasachim? Not only is some of it offered on the mizbeach, all of it's offered on the mizbeach. And perhaps there should be a mitzvah of hagasha as it relates to mincha sasachim. So tamalamer v'hikriva. So the Gemara says, nope, v'hikriva comes to tell me that that's not the case. V'afikta. So the Gemara says, yeah, but didn't you already darshan the word v'hikriva? V'hikriva. So the Gemara says, yes, we already darshaned it. But now we're darshaning it again based on the additional hay that's included. The hay at the end of the pasuk is a miyut, it's a limitation, coming to tell me that not everything requires hagasha, notably the minchas tesachim. So why would I do that? Why would I exclude the minchas tesachim as we turn to Samach Aleph and Aleph? Because, as we've said over time and again, the mincha sasachim is not an independent mincha. It's coming as an accessory to a karban. Therefore, it does not require a gasha. So the Gemara says, okay, but what about the mincha of a kohen? And the mincha of a kohen gadol. Now, they're coming independent. They are not an attachment to a karban. So yachli yetunas agasha. So now let's make the argument that those menachos should require a gasha. Tamalam v'higisha. So the Gemara says that the v'higisha tells me no. That these menachos do not require hagasha. So hami baile legufa shetuna hagasha. Amin vihigish vihigisha. So the Gemara says, yeah, but didn't you darshan the pasuk already? The Gemara says, yeah, sure we did. But the pasuk could have read vihigish. It says vihigisha. That hey at the end is a miyut. It's a limitation. These menachos, meaning that of the kohen and that of the kohen gadol, do not require hagasha. We're almost done. It's a really long run on sentence. Umar is rabu shar menachos lahotzi minchas kohen and minchas kohen mashiach. Mar ba'ani shar menachos sheish mehem liishin uvas begla atzman. V'yesh mehem lekohanim o'maleishlam kohanim. By a standard mincha, consider, says the Gemara, that some of it goes on the fire, they're coming independently, meaning they're not an attachment to something else. Part of it goes on to the mizbech, and part of it is eaten by kohen. Kohanim. So now, let's go over the menachos that do not have this classic construct. Number one, the shtei alechem, the lechem upon him, no part of it goes onto the mizbech. Minchas asachim shein abad beglal atzma. The minchas asachim, although all of it goes onto the mizbech, it is only coming as an attachment. And finally, minchas kohanim and minchas kohanim mashiach shein mehem lekohanim. And as far as the mincha of a kohen or the kohen gadol, so none of that is consumed by the kohanim. So again, they don't have this classic construct, the structure of some on the mizbech, some eaten by the kohanim, coming independent. So they don't have this threefold classic construct of a mincha, and therefore there's no mitzvah of hagasha. Ve'heirim yachol b'kli. The Torah says that you're going to do a harama, you're going to take off a part. I might have thought the kama should be taken off with a kli. Tamalamer ve'heirim yimena b'kumso. No, you take it with your fist. Ma harama amor la'alam b'kumso, af harama amor kam b'kumso. Later in Parshat Tzav, it's clear that it's done with the fist. Here too, the kama is done with your fist. It's not done with any kind of special clear utensil. Adkan. Okay. I'm going to breathe. Okay, that was the end of the really long brisa, the mitzvah of hagasha. It's really easy to summarize. The Torah introduces us to the mitzvah of hagasha as it relates to a mincha in Parashas Vayikra and Perek Beis. And then what was just discussed over the last almost daf of Gemara, starting on Samech Amud Aleph and ending right here before the Mishnah, is just a question of which of the menachos require hagasha, which of the menachos do not require hagasha, and what characteristics do you need in order for there to be a requirement of hagasha. Ela te'unos tenufa ve'ein te'unos hagasha. Now, this Mishnah is a continuation of the previous Mishnah. We learned that the Mishnah is looking at two unique facets of the mincha, the tenufa, the hagasha. Tenufa is a waving. We're going to talk more about that in today's daf, but really more about that in tomorrow's daf. Tomorrow's daf, we're going to talk more about the actual waving. And tomorrow, we're going to talk about waving as it relates to the mincha. And very briefly tomorrow, we're going to be talking about waving as it relates to the lulav. Okay, that's coming up in tomorrow's daf. In the meantime, there's a mitzvah of tenufa as it relates to the mincha, and there's also hagasha. And we learned in the previous Mishnah, we're continuing along this trek, is that certain menachos have both, certain menachos have neither, and certain menachos have one but not the other. And one not the other meaning both, you know, each one independently, meaning some have tenufa to the exclusion of hagasha and vice versa. So eila tenufa vein tenus hagasha. So those menachos that require tenufa but do not require hagasha are lok shemen shel metzor v'ashema. When a metzor brings his karbanos, so of the karbanos that he's bringing a karban asham, three karbanos altogether, one of them is a karban asham, together with a log of oil, and they are waved together. Tenufa is done with the log shemen and the karban asham. Bikurim, kedivrei Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. The mitzvah of bikurim, when you bring your bikurim to the Beis HaMikdash, your first fruits that come in annually, so you're going to put them in a basket, bring them to Yerushalayim, place them on the Mizbeach, and then hand the basket over to the Kohen. And that too has the requirement of tenufa, according to Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. Meaning, it's not explicitly mentioned in the Pesukim. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov has a drasha, and we will learn the drasha in just a little bit from now. He also says that he's of the opinion that tenufa applies to the Bikurim. Number three, Imuri Shama Yachid, V'chazik V'shok Shelahem. The Imurim of an individual Shlamim, together with the Chazik V'shok. So there's a requirement of tenufa for those parts. The Imurim are the parts, obviously, that go up onto the Mizbeach. Chazik V'shok of the Shlamim are the parts that are going to the Kohen. They're part of the Matnos Kahuna of every Shlamim, and they have a tenufa requirement. Echad Anashim V'echad Nashim B'Yisrael V'lo B'Acherim. Men, women, Yisrael, but not Acherim. Cryptic line of the Mishnah. We're coming back to that line a little bit later on. Shtei Alechem v'shnei Kivtzei Atzeres. Shtei Alechem, coupled with the Kivtzei Atzeres, they also require tenufa. By the way, you know I like counting. This is number four in the Mishnah, meaning how many menachos have it that that have tenufa but no hagasha. So of this Mishnah, of the listing of the Mishnah, this is already now number four. The Shtei Alechem with the Kivtzei Atzeres. Kate said, who owes that? Noseh Shtei Alechem al gabi shnei kvasim, u'minich shtei yadav l'mato, molech ha'mevi mala u'morid. So what you're supposed to do with the kvasim and the Shtei Alechem is you take the Shtei Alechem, you put it on top of the kvasim, and then you do tenufa, which is molech u'mevi. I'm going to read it now nice and simple, back and forth, mala u'morid, up and down. Now, probably you're thinking there's more to it than that, only because we're used to doing the tenufa with our lulav and esrog. We're going to come back to that in tomorrow's daf. Tomorrow we'll talk more about what exactly are the details regarding tenufa. Shenamar asher unav asher uram. Tenufa haisa b'mizrach, the Mishnah continues. The Mishnah says, where's tenufa done? So it's done in the east, meaning we're in the Azara. We are now basically focused, centered around the Mizbeach in the Azara. And now we're on the east side of the Mizbeach. Rashi over here writes, Rashi is going to say this twice on today's daf. When we're talking about tenufa being done in the east, according to Rashi, it does not mean it has to be done in the east. It can be done in the east. Rashi, I'm reading Rashi in the Mishnah. Klamar af b'mizrachu shel Mizbeach. Yachol lahanif. Kol shekein b'ma'arava dekarav yoseh l'heichal. Certainly doing on the west side of the Mizbeach is good. You're in fact closer to the heichal. The Mishnah is just giving us the limits of where tenufa can be done. It can even be done in the east. That's Rashi's understanding of the Mishnah. V'agasha b'marav. Now, as far as Agasha is concerned, the mitzvah of Agasha is done on the west side, which obviously is the side closer to the actual Heichal. Tenufa kodemus la'agasha. Tenufa comes before Agasha, meaning in the menachos. I'm saying the Mishnah over like Rashi. In the menachos that have a dual requirement of tenufa and Agasha, which of them come first? Tanufa comes before Hagasha. Rashi writes this. Rashi, I'm reading Rashi inside. Hatanufa is kodemus lahagasha is tchila. Meinev achar kach megisha. Uve minchas haomer. U minchas kenau sheyesh bem tanufa vahagasha. So Rashi identifies there are two menachos that have this dual requirement. The omer and the sota, mincha, have both hagasha and tanufa. And when that's under, and when there is this dual requirement, tanufa before hagasha. Uminaisha tanufa kodem dechsiv. Now Rashi over here tells us, because the Mishnah does not say, nor does the Gemara, how do I know that the Tanufa comes before Agasha? So Rashi says, open up to the Parsha of Sota, Bamidbar Perkei, and the Torah over there writes, Rashi quotes the Pasuk, Ve'inifes ha-mincha lifnei Hashem, v'hadar v'hikriv oso al mizbeach. So just follow the sequence of the Pesukim, where first Tanufa, then Hagasha. Back to the Mishnah. Minchas Omer, Minchas Kenaus Tunos Hagasha. The Omer and the Sota require Hagasha, Vit Tanufa. Okay, it's funny, we just said that, but we just said that in Rashi, now we're saying it in the Mishnah. Lechem Apanim Minchas Nesachim, Ein Tunos Lo Hagasha Velo Tanufa. Now, finishing up now our list, the Minchas Nesachim, the attachment Mincha that comes in conjunction with the carbon, and the Lechem Apanim, so here there is neither. There is no requirement of Hagasha nor Tanufa. Rabbi Shimon Omer. Now the Gemara over here quotes the opinion of Rabbi Shimon Gimel Minim Tunos Gimel Mitzvah Shayim B'chol Achas V'Achas. So he's got like a pattern, if you will, in terms of how to remember certain menachos, where basically we're going to look at three different types of menachos. We're looking now at the three notable procedures. Now I say three. Why are we talking about the number three? We're only talking about two: Tanufa and Hagasha. So as we're going to see in just a moment, Tanufa could be done when the animal is alive. Tanufa could be done after the animal is shechted. So there's Tanufa Mechaim and Tanufa Mishashachta. And so that's going to be counted as one and two. And Hagasha is going to be number three. So you take these three procedural aspects of a mincha, and you look at these three menachos, which we're going to detail in just a moment, and for every one of these menachos, two out of three. But the way the pattern is going to work is that it's not going to be the same two for any of these three. I hope I was clear about that. You'll see this inside. Rabbi Shimon Amar, Gimel Minin Tunos Gimel Mitzvah Shayim B'chol Achas V'Achas U'Shishit Sein Behem Ve'Elohein. I think it's just easier to see it. So Zivchei Shama Yachid, so one is a Shlamim of an individual. Two is Zivchei Shama Tzibor, the Shlamim of the community. Every time the Mishnah says that, it's only referencing one carbon, because there's only one carbon Shlamim of a community, and that is the Kivsei Atzeres. Now, I know Carbon Pesach is a Shlamim, and it's of the community, but in other words, but no. In Halacha, yes, it is categorized as a Tzibor, but it's paid for by individuals, it's brought by individuals. Okay, in other words, when we're talking about a communal carbon that's a Shlamim, so that's the Kivsei Atzeres. And finally, number three is the Asher Mitzorah, the carbon Asher of a Mitzorah. So now, those are the three carbonos. Zivchei Shama Yachid Teunos. Now, as far as the Zvachim of an individual, so there is a requirement of Smicha, Chayim, Zivchei Shama Yachid Teunim Smicha, Chaim utenufa shchutim, ve'ein bahem tenufa chaim. So, an individual shlamim, there is a requirement of smicha, while the animal's alive, tenufa after the animal's been shechted, but there's no tenufa from when the animal is alive. Zivchei shamit sibor, so here we go now to the second carbon, that of the kifsei atzeres, tenufas chaim, ushchutim, ve'ein bahem smicha. So there's no mitzvah of smicha, it's a communal carbon. On the other hand, there is tanufa, and not only tanufa, but tanufa times two. Tanufa when the kvasim were alive, together with the shealechem, and tanufa again after the animals are shechted. And finally, asher mitzara, taun smicha, utanufa chai, ve'ein bo tanufa shachot. Now, as far as the asher mitzara is concerned, there is a requirement of smicha, and a tanufa while the animal's alive, but no tanufa after the animal is shechted. So, according to Rabbi Shimon, for these three karbanos, we have three mitzvahs. By the way, I misspoke earlier. I said Hagasha. We're now take out Hagasha and replace it with Smicha. So there are three aspects. There is Smicha together with Tanufas Chai, Tanufas Shachut. And now for these three Kabanos, two of those three apply. It's just a question of which two apply to which of the three. We'll come back to Rabbi Shimon's statement later. Tana Rabbanan, we are in the very bottom of Samach Aleph Amid Aleph, right after the Gemara. The Gemara quotes the Brisa: "V'kriva so la'asham v'esloga shemen v'inifa sam tenufa malamit shetuno tenufa tenufa ke'achad." When the mitzvah brings his carbonus to the base of Mikdash, the tenufa is done with the asham and the log shemen, and it's done together, meaning that the kohen is going to be doing tenufa with the animal and the log shemen. By the way, yes, we are describing over here the picking up of an animal and waving an animal. Okay, these are not large animals. We're not talking about cow. We're talking about sheep. We're talking about goat. It's within its first year of life. It's in, huh? It's the first year of life, second year of life. So in other words, doable. Yeah, doable. Two of them is more challenging. Agreed. Malamit shetunas tenufa ke'echad. So the asham, the carbon asham together with the log shemen, tenufa is done with the two of them together. Now, as a bidyeved, so you could do it individually. So the Torah says, oso as a singular, meaning it should be done together, but if done individually, fine. I might have thought that lichatchila, the best way to do it is a tenufa with the animal, and then the tenufa with the log shemen. The Torah says tenufa as one action. So that means to say that they are done together. Lifnei Hashem b'mizrach. The pasuk says Lifnei Hashem, which is in the east, in the mizrach. V'amar Lifnei Hashem yachal b'marav. Amre. So the Gemara says, now Lifnei Hashem being in the east, the Gemara says that's a little bit difficult to understand. Now again, Rashi over here writes, and again, this is Rashi like we saw back in the Mishnah, meaning when we're saying east over here, we mean even in the east. Obviously, Lifnei Hashem, to be closer to the Heichal, you're on the west side of the Mizbech, not on the east side of the Mizbech. So the way Rashi understands it is that you can even be in the east, and that would be considered Lifnei Hashem. So the Gemara says, Lifnei Hashem b'mizrach, v'ha amar, the Gemara says, Lifnei Hashem yachal b'marav. So the Gemara says, now regarding the mitzvah of Hagasha, Lifnei Hashem was clearly in the west. Amrei hani milim mincha de ikrei chatas v'chatas tuna yisod v'keren dromas mizrachis lo haya lo yisod. Ava hacha lifnei Hashem karina bay. The Gemara says, don't get confused. When it comes to the mitzvah of Hagasha, so there the mitzvah of Hagasha requires a yisod. Rashi over here takes the time. We've gone through this before. I'm not going to go through the Rashi again. That in terms of going around the periphery of the Mizbeach, so you're going to see that there's a yisod on the southwest side of the Mizbech, but there is no yisod on the southeast side of the Mizbech. So in terms of the mitzvah of Hagasha, which does require yisod, so therefore that's why it has to be on the west side. When it comes to the mitzvah of Tenufa, where there's no requirement of yisod, so you can even be on the east side. Habikurim kediv Rebbe Elazar ben Yaakov, my Rebbe Elazar ben Yaakov, detanyo. The Gemara quotes a braisa that Tenufa is required for Bikurim, as we mentioned back in the Mishnah. There's no clear reference in the Torah that this is in fact so. We're learning it based on a limud. Ditanya v'lakacha kohen limud ala bikurim she'tu'unan tenufa divrei Rebbe Elazar ben Yaakov. My taima. So he quotes the pasuk from the mitzvah of bikurim, that's Parshas Kisavo. And in the pasuk itself, really no clear indication. So the Gemara asks the question. My taima de Rebbe Elazar ben Yaakov gamar yad yad mishlami. He learns it out based on a gzera shava. So over here by Bikurim, the Torah says, uses the word Yad. By the Mincha, the Torah talks about Yadav Tivienu, that it's going to be placed in his hands. Makan Kohen Af Lahalan Kohen. Now over here by Bikurim, it's obviously the hand is the hand of a Kohen. Just so too over there. By a standard tenufa, it's going to be a kohen. And aflahalan kohen, malahalan balim, afkan balim. And just like over there, we're talking about the owner of the mincha, so too over here, we're talking about the owner of the mincha. And so basically what we have now is, how many sets of hands are going on the mincha for tenufa? The kohen and the owner. Ha-ketzei kohen miniach gadot tachas yidei balim u'meiniv. So that means to say, so how is tenufa going to be done? Everyone puts a hand on the bowl with the mincha, and or the Bikurim, and does the Tenufa all together. Sounds like from the Gemara that the way Tenufa is done is that a hand goes onto the bowl, or I should say better, under the bowl. The Kohen's hand goes underneath that, and Tenufa is done. If you take a look at Tosfos over here, it's the first Tosfos on the Amud, Kohen Menech Gadot Tachas Yidei Balam Meiniv, Lav Davka Kamar. So Tosfos right away says, no, don't take that so literally. Meaning it's not the hand of the kohen going directly under the hand of the owner. What's Tosfos worried about? Well, you don't have to guess. He spells it out. In other words, for the mitzvah of tenufa, so it has to be literally hands-on. So that means that the Kohen's hand has to be actually on the bowl itself. If the Kohen's hand is underneath the hand of the owner, so then his hand is not going to be making contact with the bowl, and Tosfos over here says that that would be a problem of chatzitza. Now perhaps what you can argue, which Tosfos obviously is rejecting this argument, is that it's not a chatzitza because it's just simply another hand that's on that's also doing the mitzvah of tenufa. You can make that argument. Obviously, Tosfos does not. Tosfos, however, does point out, if you just look a little bit ahead in the Tosfos, he does point out that there does seem to be an indication that he may not be right. That, in other words, the mitzvah of tenufa, read our Gemara literally. It's hand underneath hand. And the owner puts his hand under the bowl, the Kohen puts his hand under the owner's hand, and that's how tenufa is done. What indication would it be that you should read the Gemara literally, outside from the fact that the Gemara literally says that? But Tosfos says, I have a Gemara Yerushalmi. So, Uvi Yerushalmi Mashma Kisas, if you look at the end of Tosfos, it's like the last 8-9 lines of that Tosfos. Uvi Yerushalmi Mashma Kisas Tahavi Tachas Yadav Mamish. So he quotes the Gemara Yerushalmi, where it sounds like literally, hand under hand. The Garcin and Gabi Tenufas Mincha Sota, because as we already learned in the Amud Aleph of today's daf, the Sota's Mincha requires Tenufa. Now, the owner of the Sota's Mincha is obviously the Sota. So that means that our hand is going to go under the bowl. And now, right, slightly indelicate, slightly immodest, but the Kohen's hand now is going to go directly underneath. And the Yushami's bothered by the question of Nagia, meaning they're not married, he shouldn't be touching her. This is now the Yerushalmi. Tosfos is quoting. This is not inappropriate. It's not disgusting. Maybe mapa ve'inu chotzeitz. Maybe kohen zaken v'afilu tema yeled ein yetzer hara matzu lo'oso shah. So the Yerushalmi grapples with the yetzer hara issue. Either you get an old kohen, or it just happens to be that circumstantially. In other words, at that point in time, we're talking about the sota procedure, meaning it's. The Kohen is practicing right now. So the Yetzer Hara does not operate at that point in time. Okay, various suggestions in the Yerushalmi about the inappropriateness of the Kohen's hand touching the Sota's hand. In the meantime, however, clearly, the starting point of the Yerushalmi is that it's literally hand underneath hand. That's the starting point of the Yerushalmi. So sounds like, says Tosfos, that I'm not right. It sounds like it's literally hand under hand. Tosfos says, look, I could still be right. Meaning it's not literally hand underneath hand, and still, if they're both holding the bowl, it could lead to negia, it still could be viewed as inappropriate. So Tosfos says, I understand the Yerushalmi would be a total support for my position, but you could still read it into the Yerushalmi. Okay. Back to the Gemara. V'lema nami k'divrei Rabbi Yehuda. So, let's regroup. We're in the Mishnah, we're talking about the various menachos that require tenufa, and the Mishnah included Bikurim. But according to Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, because he learns out the Gzeira Shava, obviously there are Tanaim who do not learn out the Gzeira Shava. The Gemara now notes, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov does not have exclusivity to this position. This position is also the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. So why is our Mishnah giving full credit to Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov? You know, he says Bikurim require tenufa. There's others out there. By say others, I mean just Rabbi Yehuda, but still. Why is our Mishnah not mentioning Rabbi Yehuda? So, V'lema nami k'div Rabbi Yehuda, D'tanya, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, V'inachto zu tenufa. So, Ata Omer zu tenufa. Now, again, going back to the Pesukim in Vayikra, in Kisavo, regarding the mitzvah of Bikurim, V'inachto, and he puts it down, and that's code for tenufa. How do you know that? Maybe putting it down means putting it down. Right? Why not? So kishu omer v'hinicho hare hanacha amur. No, because if you look at the sequence of the psukim, it already says that he put it down. So the additional v'hinachto, tenufa. Amur hamani mekayim v'hinachto zu tenufa. So, we know now Rabbi Yehuda agrees with Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. Why is he not getting any kind of credit in the Mishnah? Answers the Gemara, Amar Rava. Two answers of the Gemara. One is that, and so the first answer is really simple. Rav Elazar ben Yaakov's drasha comes up first. Meaning when you go through the psukim in Parshas Kisavo, which drasha are you going to experience first? The Yad Gzereshava of Rav Elazar ben Yaakov. Simple. Another answer of the Gemara, Rav Nachman Yitzchak Amar, hold the Rav Gavrei. The way Rashi understands it, literally the Gemara means he's a great Rav. Rashi understands this to mean Mishnas Rav Elazar ben Yaakov Kavanaki. Rav Elazar ben Yaakov does not have a lot of opinions throughout Shas, but whenever he does, it's been filtered. Meaning, he learned his Mishnayos, he learns his Brises really carefully, and when he espouses a viewpoint, there are not many out there, so the they are accepted positions. And that's why our Mishnah credits Rav Elazar ben Yaakov, to indicate that's an accepted position. Continuing in the Gemara, two doubts. Imur Yishlami Yachid v'chaz v'shok shalahem echad nashim v'echad nashim b'Yisrael v'lo ba'acherim. A cryptic line of the Mishnah, and basically the Gemara's response to this line of the Mishnah, my kamar. What just happened in the Mishnah? Like, what's the Mishnah talking about? And as Rashi articulates the Gemara's question over here, in the ratio of the Mishnah it says, women and men bring a mincha. Then, the Mishnah goes on to point out that Yisrael v'lo ba'acherim. Yisrael b'nad acherim. Rashi explains that right now the Gemara understands that when we're limiting acherim, that means not women. Now, if that's the right understanding of the Mishnah, so then we should all be majorly confused. The Mishnah first says the mincha of a man and a woman require tenufa, oh, but not that of a woman. Okay, is that clear? No, it's not clear at all. So my kamar. So Amar Yehuda Achi kamar. Echen anashim ve'echen anashim kabanam ton tenufa. So, here's how you read the Mishnah. The mincha of both men and women require tenufa. U'tenufa atzma b'Yisrael. Ava lo b'yidei nashim. Now, even though the mincha of a woman requires tenufa, but the woman's not going to do it. Meaning it'll be done by a man. Now, perhaps it has to do with the fact that the woman's not going to be in the Azara. It could be really that simple. But in any event, though, that's how you understand the Mishnah. There is a requirement, but a man will do it on her behalf. Tanur Rabban, the Gemara quotes, "Debraisa b'nei Yisrael manifin vein ov dekochav manifin b'nei Yisrael manifin vein anashim manifos." In terms of the mitzvah of tenufa, so it is not done by non-Jew. It's not done by nashim. Amar Rav Yosi, "Matzina shechalak akasam ein karbon Yisrael lekarbon ov dekochav lekarbon nashim b'smicha yachol nachlok b'tenufa." Rav Yosi says that we know there's a distinction regarding the mitzvah of smicha. That smicha, there's a requirement for men to do smicha. There's no requirement for women. There's a requirement for Jew to do smicha, but not for a non-Jew. Meaning, if and when a non-Jew brings a carbon to the base of Mikdash, no smicha requirement. Yachol nachlok b'tenufa, lo. Mali chalak b'smicha she'asmicha b'balam nachlok b'tenufa she'tenufa b'kohanim. So according to Rabbi Yossi, there's no reason to make such a distinction. Because as it relates to smicha is done by the owner himself. But when as it relates to tenufa is done... Tenufa is done by the Kohen. So Yisrael menifim ve'ino of the kochav menifim. Yisrael menifim ve'ino anashim menifos. And I'm sorry. Imken matam alarm b'nei Yisrael. Okay, sorry, I skipped a line. So then, why does the Torah say the words b'nei Yisrael? B'nei Yisrael menifim ve'ino of the kochav menifim. B'nei Yisrael menifim ve'ino anashim menifos. Meaning, Rav Yossi agrees to the conclusion. He just points out, why is there a special need to tell me that tenufa is not to be done? Because unlike smicha, tenufa can be done by the Kohanim. And therefore, there's no reason to make any kind of delineation. And yet the Torah says, B'nai Yisrael are the ones doing tenufa, meaning men, not women, and Yisrael, and not Ovdei Kochavim. Let's do one more braisa. Tanya Idach, we learned on another braisa. B'nai Yisrael, Ein Li Ela B'nai Yisrael, Gerim V'Avadim B'Shucharim, Minayin Tamalamar, HaMakriv. So, in this braisa, so included in who's going to be doing the mitzvah of tenufa, so men, and included in that also are converts, and slaves who were freed, which are also converts. Minayin tamalamar ha-makriv. O'ein o'el ha-zekoin ha-makriv kishu'amar yadav tevyenu. Hare ba'alim amur. In Parshat Tzav, when it says that his hands are going to bring it, meaning that's the hands of the owner. Ha-ketzad koin menich yadav v'tachas yidei ha-ba'alim u'meinif. And so that means that his hand is going to go, the hand of the owner is going to go directly under the mincha. The Kohen's hand is going to go under his. See Tosus we did earlier. in terms of exactly, is that literally or just on the side of the bowl, in any event. And so all the hands are going to be on it for the mitzvah of Tanufa. Let's recap. Ketzav will start tomorrow. Let's recap. So in the course of today's daf, we finished up the really long braisa regarding the mitzvah of Hagasha, which menachos require Hagasha, which do not. So see yesterday's daf all the way up to and including today's daf, where the braisa goes into a long discussion in terms of which do and which do not. Our Mishnah then explores the other menachos that have a tenufa slash Hagasha requirement. Some require both, some require only one of the two, some require none. Our Mishnah went through a listing of which one's which. We continued in the Gemara today, citing drushas for all the sources of the Mishnah, up to and including the mitzvah of Tanufa, which right now, what we focused on over today is whose hands are going on the mincha for Tanufa. The answer is both the hands of the owner of the mincha and the hands of the Kohanim. Our Gemara read one directly underneath the other. Tosos was averse to a literal reading of the Gemara, but he noted that the Yushami seems to take it literally. Tomorrow we talk more about Tanufa. Tomorrow we'll try to figure out how to wave our lulav and esrog. So that's coming up tomorrow.